Welcome to the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast with Reverend Judith Ann Glass. For over 40 years, the prophetic ministry of Brother and Sister Glass have gone around the world bringing the living Word of God to multiply thousands of people. Get ready to receive a fresh message of faith and hope that will bring you into new dimensions of the love of God. You can be that overcomer God has called you to be as you behold Him, the Unveiled Christ, in all of His matchless glory. Listen now to the whole Word for the whole man to the whole world, ministered in the power and anointing of God's Holy Spirit.
You don't have any problem that a miracle from God can't solve. Greetings, radio family. This is Sister Judith, and I praise the Lord we're able to be together again. And I've been preaching out of the book of Isaiah 59, and it's a serious message because the Lord begins that chapter by speaking prophetically through the prophet Isaiah. And he says, your iniquities have separated between you and your God. Your sins have hid his face from you, and he will not hear. And he's addressing the subject of unanswered prayer. Why was their society so wicked? Why were blood being shed? And it's verse 7, their feet run to evil. They make haste to shed innocent blood. Their thoughts are thoughts of iniquity. Wasting and destruction are in their paths. The way of peace they know not. There's no judgment in their goings. They've made themselves crooked paths therein, and they shall not know peace. And then we see the prophet step in, verse 9, and he begins to describe what in a personal way, identifying with the people of God. We grope for the wall like the blind. And in verse 16, there's a very important passage. This is the Lord. He saw there was no man and wondered that there was no intercessor. Therefore, his arm brought salvation unto him, and his righteousness, it sustained him. Verse 17, it talks about him putting on righteousness as a breastplate and the helmet of salvation upon his head, garments of vengeance for clothing, clad with zeal as a cloak. It's speaking about Jesus, and he is zealous for his people. He hates wickedness and iniquity. He is returning, and he will judge his enemies, all those who refuse to bow to his name, all those who refuse to harden their hearts, stiffen their necks, and will not be subject to God. And let me read now verse 20, and the Redeemer shall come to Zion, and unto them that turn from transgression in Jacob, saith the Lord. So the Lord is coming to Zion, his true church, his body, and to those who will turn from transgression. And so, beloved, we have always a choice. The God, the creator of heaven and earth, he never forces anyone. He allows the human will to be sacrosanct, that whatever a man decides, he is free to make that decision, free to choose salvation through Jesus Christ or refuse to accept that salvation. And if one does that, there is no other option than to side with the enemies of the Lord, led by the hosts of Lucifer or Satan. And so that word redeemer in verse 20, it means kinsman redeemer. That is, one who is related by blood. Again, now if you can reference the book of Ruth, to those he redeems, which is exactly what Boaz did for Ruth, who was the daughter-in-law of Naomi. And of course, this indicates the necessity for the incarnation. Jesus had to be a redeemer. He had to be related by blood, if you will. And so he took on the image of man. He took on human flesh. Hebrews 2:14-16 says, for as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, he also, Jesus also, himself likewise took part of the same, that through death he might destroy him that hath the power of death, that is the devil, hallelujah, and deliver them who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. For verily, He took not on him the nature of angels, but he took on him the seed of Abraham. And then in verse 21, the final verse of that chapter, as for me, this now the Lord again speaks prophetically, which happens so frequently through scripture, through the Psalms. You know, the psalmist is speaking, David is speaking, then all of a sudden the Lord starts speaking. As for me, this is my covenant with them, saith the Lord, my spirit that is upon thee and upon my words, those who hear and obey, which I've put in thy mouth shall not depart out of thy mouth, nor out of the mouth of thy seed, nor out of the mouth of thy seed's seed, saith the Lord, from henceforth and forever. In other words, those of us who are Abraham's children, his seed, we shall all be speaking the same things. Praise God. It refers to that outpouring of God's Holy Spirit. God will pour out his Spirit upon all flesh, Joel says. Your sons, your daughters will prophesy. This is a covenant he's establishing that shall not end. God is writing, as he said through Jeremiah, a law inwardly on the heart. We were not able to fulfill those commandments written on stone. But now he's doing a new thing. He's transforming us, changing us, our very nature, allowing us to have a new nature, to become born again. Genesis 17 and 4 says, as for me, behold, my covenant is with thee, speaking to Abraham, and thou shalt be the father of many nations, not just Israel, many nations. Jeremiah 31 and 31 says, behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah. I will put my law in their inward parts and write it in their hearts, and will be their God, and they shall be my people. Hear what Hebrews 8 and 10 says, for this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, saith the Lord. I will put my law into their mind and write them in their hearts, and I will be to them a God, and they shall be to me a people. This is the work that God is doing, not just as he offered originally salvation to the Jews, but to all peoples because of our father Abraham, who was before the law. And remember the most important verse of this entire chapter, verse 16, God wondered that there was no intercessor. I wonder if we could encourage the Lord's heart today, because there was none at that time. He created one, the Lord Jesus Christ, born of a virgin, so that he can now sit at the right hand of the Majesty on high, interceding for us. Now, why should this be? Let's look at the purpose of all of this. What is God telling us in this chapter? It's because there was such a great need. The iniquities of the people have separated them from God. That was verse 2 that we shared. They were waiting for light, yet walking in darkness. That's verse 9. They grope like the blind. They stumbled at noonday. Verse 10. Their sins testified against them. Verse 12. And truth, how sad, had fallen in the streets. Verse 14. Yet no one, how sad, sufficiently felt the sorrow and sin of the whole situation to give themselves to intercessory prayer unto God. Verse 16, as it spoke to ancient Israel, it speaks to us today, questioning how many are willing to hear the cry of the Lord. It speaks to that verse 16, there was no man, there was no intercessor. It speaks to the self-righteous, to the complacent, to the non-involvement of many in today's church world. Beloved, there is such, in this age in which we're living, I've been so focused on the Spirit of Truth lately. There's the Spirit of Truth, which is the Holy Spirit of God, which quickens the Scriptures and our hearts, lives in us. And then there is the Spirit of Error, which is in the world. And beloved, there is a falling away. There are those who claim to love God and speak the truth, and yet they are caught up in error and deception. I don't often do this, but beloved, this was a couple years ago maybe, I literally heard a very well-known, popular minister of the gospel say, with my own ears, out of his own mouth, that we as a Christian body should never have allowed the enemy to come in and to divide the body of Christ with the Protestant Reformation. Did you hear what I said? I nearly fell off my seat. That basically what Luther was, you know, the just shall live by faith, what was occurring with the Protestant Reformation was a revolt, if you will, against the wickedness and iniquity of what had been the one church since the time of Constantine, the errors, the false doctrine, the sin that had occurred. And Luther, he put the word, it was all based on the word of God. The word of God was not available to the, quote, common people. One of the things Luther did was translate the New Testament into the German language. And over in England, other things, English translations came forth. And it was a bringing forth of God's word that everyone could receive and hear and read for themselves. I couldn't believe he said that. Recently, I just heard the other day, this is a messianic Jewish believer, a messianic rabbi. It was just a brief thing. I don't watch television, but this was a YouTube, that's where I choose to. I do listen to mainline news just to know what's going on, but I do revert a lot to YouTube, and there's a kaleidoscope of different things. But the voices you hear, and this one brother who was who believed in Jesus, said that was answering a question that the great harlot, the whore of Revelation, Mystery Babylon, that's seated on the beast, she was the Christian church, including the Catholics, the Greek Orthodox, and all the Protestants. My breath was taken away and I started trembling inside. Beloved, we need the spirit of truth and the spirit of discernment. We need to pray as never before. That's why I'm sharing this passage. God is wanting people to pray. We've got to have discernment and wisdom and the spirit of truth, or else we're going to be seduced and taken in by all. I mean, it's like prophets are falling over themselves on YouTube to get in the latest word from the Lord. And you know, this ministry, if you've been familiar with it for any length of time, we highly regard the prophetic. But beloved, if we have the mind of Christ, I suggest to you, shouldn't we all be speaking the same thing? Because Jesus is not schizophrenic. He's not confused. He's not double-minded. And so, having just shared that, thoughts for your contemplation, let us pray as never before that God's truth will be restored, that we will not walk in error, that the unsaved will not be confused by the multiplicity of messages that are out there, but that God will send forth his spirit and reveal the word of God that people may be saved. I must close now. Until tomorrow, this is Sister Glass. Say, may God's best forever be yours is my prayer.
You're listening to the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast. Thank you for joining us. You're invited to write Sister Glass at P.O. Box 577, Caldwell, Idaho. 83606 is the zip code. That's Post Office Box 577, Caldwell, Idaho. 83606 is the zip code. You're also invited to visit our website, unveiledchrist.org. You can learn more about Unveiled Christ there, as well as email Sister Glass. Again, that's unveiledchrist.org. And please remember as you write that your prayers for this ministry are greatly valued, and your tax-deductible gifts of support enable us to keep this radio program on the air. Thank you for joining us today. Until next time, God bless.